is final Lord's Day in 2019. As I considered and pondered and struggled with what to preach, I thought about our past year, all the messages we've had, and what does God want us to know as New Jerusalem? That we need to fix with ourselves. That we need to fix with ourselves. So that he can bring us into what he has preordained us to do a long time ago.
Yes, Lord, yes.
This church just didn't pop up a few years ago. I think we're on our 53rd year next year. 54th next year. So God has predestined some stuff for this ministry. But I want you to know, God doesn't deposit his jewels into the hands of anybody.
Yes.
He's not going to bring a hurting person to you if you're going to mess them up some more.
Okay.
Yes.
Y'all hear what I'm saying here?
Amen.
God's work is serious work.
Yes.
It's people that need stuff, and if we ourselves are not delivered, how can we help somebody else get
delivered?
Do y'all hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
It comes a time when we ought to matronize ourselves. You know that word matronize means mature ourselves and grow up in God. He's calling us to bigger things. I think a lot of us have been on milk long enough. It's time to chew on some meat. Amen? And until we're ready to face ourselves. We can't fix ourselves. God wants to bless us. He's in the blessing business. He ain't say he's looking for a perfect church. He ain't looking for no perfect people. But you got to be fat for God. F-A-T. You got to be fat for God. Pastor, what that mean? I'm glad y'all asked. Faithful and teachable. Faithful and teachable. So God placed this. This was not an easy one to write, brother lives. God gave me one verse. If you turn your Bible to the New Testament book of Matthew, God called it say Matthew, chapter 18 and verse 15. God's calling say Matthew, chapter 18 and verse 15. Let us pray. Well, Lord our God, I acknowledge your name in all the earth. We thank you. It's once again another time that I stand up behind this roster, Father God. Father God, you've been faithful. In spite of ourselves, you come and you've spoken to us. Father God, you allow your messenger, your Holy Spirit, to come on and deliver a rhema word to your people every Sunday. You've been so good. Better to us than we've been to ourselves. We don't deserve your goodness and your mercy. But we thank you for it. You're a forgiving God. And Father God, you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. So that's why we sit at your feet.
Yes.
Humbly, ears open, paying attention to what you have to say to us. Father God, we understand that everything you have to say to us is not easy for us to digest it.
Yes.
But Father God, because you said we must speak it. And we thank you for that.
Thank you.
You correct who you love. You bless who belongs to you. Father God, you've got us in the palm of your hand. We ask right now that you do it one more time, another again.
Yes, Lord.
Give us a word, Father.
Our
rhema word. Fit for our circumstance and situation at this present time. And Father God, as I speak your word into the atmosphere, let it be a declaration to the enemy that we hear that which you are declaring for us. Because Father God, we know that the thoughts you have to us are to make us prosper.
Yes, Lord.
And to make us good. Father God, you have no ill thoughts towards us.
Yes.
But you want the best for us.
Yes.
We are your children and you are our God.
Yes.
So create a clean heart. Renew us the right spirit. Give us hearing ears right now, Father God.
Yes.
Ears that understand. Give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Drop back and drape some misunderstanding. Allow your word to be plain enough so that a child can understand it.
Yes.
And Father God, whatever's accomplished in this setting, we will be careful to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. Speak, Lord, for your people hear it.
Amen.
The gospel according to Matthew chapter 18, 15 verse. I'll read to you off the King James Version. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. The New King James Version puts it like this. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother and thy sister. I thank you for something which to preach, teach, and inform us as we go into 2019, just between the two of us.
Amen.
Just between the two of us. I like to plagiarize that title. I stole it from Bill Withers. Just the two of us. We can make it if we try.
Yes.
And he said that? You may take your seats in the presence of the Lord. Just between the two of us. I was in a clergy gathering not too long ago in Seaboard, and part of the icebreaker, the presenter asked us a question that I'm passing on to you this morning. He asked, in this season and stage of your life, what teaching of Jesus is most profound and impacting who you are today? In this season and stage, what saying of Jesus is causing you to stretch beyond where you are? To where you think God is calling you to be? Given where you are in your walk with God and your maturation with God, with the Lord, what teaching of our Lord and Savior resonates and resounds with the relevant realities of your life? What you find yourself clinging to out of the words of and mouth of Jesus that are causing you to grow in your walk with the Lord? What teaching of Jesus impacts you most right now? Somebody, your answer will be that teaching on forgiveness. Because you know what it's like to have to learn to forgive and to hear Jesus challenge us to forgive 70 times 7. Somebody else, it may be your prayer life. As you realize your prayer life is a little insufficient, a little deficient, and you hear Jesus talking to you about the persistent widow that kept knocking on the judge's door to remind you that sometimes you got to pray, 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 and pray again, and keep on praying until the Lord answers your prayer.
Amen. Amen.
Somebody else, maybe it's you learning to walk by faith like Peter. Getting out of that boat, hearing Jesus say, come. For somebody else, maybe learning not to worry when Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else will fall rightful place.
Yes, Lord, yes.
What teaching of Jesus challenged you most where you are right now? When it came my time to answer, it was real simple, y'all. There's one teaching of Jesus that resonates most with me in this stage of my life, in this stage of my maturation with him. There's one verse of scripture that grabs my heart. One verse that calls me to stretch and grow into what God wants me to be. It is right here in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. Let me set the context, if you will. I will argue with you, my brothers and sisters, that God is intimately concerned with how you relate to other people. That God's concern for your life is not simply about how loud you shout on Sunday and how many scriptures you memorize. But God watches how you treat other people. I will suggest you, beloved, that religion without relationship is hypocrisy. That you cannot claim to be a renewed relationship with God and not learn to live in a reconciled relationship with other people. God cares about relationship. Christianity is not some personal, pious me and myself and God existence. But Christianity is a calling on your life to be in connected, loving, fair, just relationships with all of God's people. Relationships matter to God. As a matter of fact, they matter so much here is what the Bible says. Y'all with me? I know I'm in the book. You can't say you love God whom you have never seen and not love the people you see every day. How can you be so sanctified that you speak in spiritual tongues, but you can't even say good morning in English to the people who sit next to you on the pew every Sunday? When the disciples asked Jesus, how will people know we are anointed? Here's what Jesus says. Here's how people know you go to church. Here's how they will know you love the Lord. Here's how they will know you have a Bible. Not by your shout, but by your ability to love one another. My brothers and my sisters, the word of God is so clear that when God shapes Israel, listen to Pastor, and brings them out of slavery, he gives them 10 commandments.
Yes.
The first four are about their relationship with God.
Yes.
The last six are about their relationship with each other. Because you cannot claim to be in relationship with God and then not know how to be in relationship with everybody else.
Right.
Some of us got a funky attitude.
Yes.
Relationship is so important to God that in the first days of the church, whenever they had communion, they couldn't just come to the table if they had an issue with one another. They were forbidden from having communion until they worked out the issue they had in the pew. Because you can't come to the table until you got the pew right.
All right.
I wonder how long communion would take in church next first Sunday if you were not allowed to have bread and cup until you talked to that other person and worked out your issue with them. I'm telling you, this is what we need to be doing. God will bless us next year, y'all. Time to grow up. If you look at Jesus, Jesus' busy issue with the Pharisees was not that they claimed to be in relationship with God, but that their relationship with God did not affect how they treated people. Jesus looked at them and called them hypocrites. How can you say you know the word of God and love God and you as mean as you are, as ugly as you are, as nasty as you are? Don't y'all look at nobody else. I'm talking to y'all. Look here. Relationship matters to God. As a matter of fact, if I take a step back and you look at the teaching of Jesus, watch this now. I'm passing the book. The bulk of what Jesus teaches has nothing to do with how you get to heaven. The bulk of it has nothing to do how you should operate in church. Rock, check this out. The bulk of what Jesus teaches has to do is with how you deal with people on the street and how you should love and live among those that say they love God too. It is about relationship. Relationships matter to God. And because relationships are so important to Jesus, he lays out some principles to help us deal with what he knows is inevitable in relationships.
Yes.
Preach, black man. Yes. Jesus knows what you are and that we are mature enough to understand.
Uh-huh.
That in any relationship, offense is inevitable. You cannot be in relationship with any other human being and at some moment not be offended. I don't care how well you know each other. I don't care how long you've been friends. I don't care if it's your spouse, child, co-worker, supervisor, your boss, your fraternity sister. I don't care who it is. I came by to tell you. At some moment in every relationship, you will get a bad taste in your mouth. At some moment, they're going to say something they should not have said. At some moment, they will do something you think they never should have done. At some moment, somebody's going to mistreat you in a way you think is disrespectful. I don't care how much you love your boo, your bae, at some moment as a human being and in a relationship, it's going to deal with some offense.
Talk to us.
I'm going to take my time with this one. You ain't got to make no New Year's resolution. Just get this right. As a matter of fact, just make sure you're grown. Say this to yourself. Offense is inevitable. You will be offended. And since offense is inevitable, the presence of offense is not what destroys a relationship. It is how you handle it does.
Okay, that's right. Talk to us, Pastor. Talk to us.
You can't avoid being offended, but how you choose to handle it will determine whether the relationship remains or not. Realizing that relationships matter and offense is inevitable, Jesus lays out one verse of scripture that is meant to help resolve just about everything. Jesus knows you're going to be offended, knows you're going to be hurt, knows you will be mistreated. So he speaks to us here in the 18th chapter in one verse. This is meant to help resolve half the mess you go through. One verse will diffuse that passive aggressiveness with your co-worker. One verse will help you deal with an issue in a choir, on the usher board, on the deacon board, and the mother board. One verse will rectify and make church a better place. One verse! One verse will make your family reunion less awkward. One verse will help resolve the pettiness that destroys relationship. One verse, and if you put it to practice, it will change everything.
Yeah.
Help me, the Holy Ghost. One verse goes a little something like this. If somebody does you wrong, go to them directly. Tell them how you feel just between the two of you. Can Pastor put his own flip on this thing?
Go ahead.
I call this the 1815 principle.
Go ahead.
Chapter 1815. Tweet this. Hashtag 1815.
All right.
Here it is. If somebody leaves a bad taste in your mouth, and they will. If somebody offends you, and they may. If somebody mistreats you, and they just might, this just might happen in your life. Don't just sit on it. Don't just stoop on it. Go to that person directly and tell them, him or her, how you feel. Now, you can take it or leave it. Sister Thomas, they can take it or leave it. But if you look in your Bible, it is written in red. No red letter in the Bible, right? Who said it?
Jesus.
I know y'all ain't done getting no Jesus.
Jesus said.
Hashtag 1815.
Okay. Amen.
But it's written in red, so I suggest you should probably pay attention to it.
That's right.
This is how Jesus said we should handle it. Notice, it is the last way we choose to handle offense. We choose the easier roads. It is easy just to cut somebody off and tell them, I'm not messing with you no more. I'm not dealing with you. I don't talk to you like that. I don't talk to you like that no more. I'm through with you. I wash my hands of you. Then we get spiritual.
And
we get them some scripture.
Oh.
Now may the Lord watch between you and me.
Talk to us, Pastor.
While we ask it, one from another. We don't practice 1815. We'd rather go find some other folk and tell them what they did. Because it is easier to talk to other folk than it is to the one that actually hurts you. It's tight, but it's right.
It's right, pal. He's talking to us. Tighten us up some more. Tighten us all the way up.
We'd rather go out on Facebook, Twitter,
okay,
and posted all our feelings, all our emotions, because you have more courage to type than to talk. We would rather be super spiritual and act like nothing bothers us. Oh, I'm so holy, that ain't bothering me what he or she did. You just so saved and sanctified. Your skin is so thick that nothing gets uneaten. You just roll, it just rolls right off you, girl. I'm not worried about that. But you know that is not true. We would rather let it fester in our spirit and disturb our joy and ruin our peace, so that every time you see him or her, you feel some kind of way. And it's sitting right there underneath your skin. Listen now. Listen, right under your skin. So the very next time, Sister Thomas, Angie, a person who dares to look at you the wrong way or speak, they catch all the hell that you really want to share with somebody else. You weak. You take it out of the wrong person, rock. And now you are damaging relationships with people who have nothing to do with what happened to you.
Yes.
Look at somebody and say, I'm glad y'all came to church today. And Jesus says, no, when someone has done you wrong, I need you to go to that person directly.
Yes.
Just the two of you.
Come on now.
And share with them how you felt. In 1815, it is hard to put into practice. I kept wondering, why do we run and tell other folk? Why do we post? Why do we let it fester? Why don't we do what Jesus told us to do? Part of the answer is this. Y'all ready for this?
Go ahead, Pastor. I'm anchor, Pastor.
Woo! Hold on to your seatbelt.
I'm holding on. Tell me, Pastor.
Why do we post? Why do we talk to everybody instead of going to the person that we think they did something to us?
Uh-huh.
You know why?
Why?
Sister Phil, check this out.
Come on now.
Some people are addicted to victimization.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you. Listen to Pastor. Some people love playing the victim.
Uh-huh.
Some people have loved putting themselves in a permanent, pathetic place.
Yes.
So that they can always be the victim and therefore have an excuse to respond any way they want. Because when you are the victim, you can excuse yourself from maturity.
Uh-huh.
You can excuse yourself from obedience. You can excuse yourself from godliness.
Uh-huh.
I say, well, they did me wrong, so now I can do whatever I want to do, have done. I found that people who are addicted to being the victim hate being called out. They want to pass on bad behavior. And don't like it when you tell them whatever she did to you does not justify how you are choosing to respond to it.
Yes.
They don't want to hear that. They're rather from the church with attitude.
All right.
I mean, next year, if anybody will come with an attitude and we got to wonder what's wrong with you, because we know you now. We just a small church. We know you know how you act. So you acting out of sorts. We're going to know it. Don't think you can hide it. You ain't got, you ain't got that. You ain't the invisible woman or man. So instead of you messing everybody else, I give you permission to stay home that Sunday.
Jesus.
You're not going to bother my faith because I'm going to get her to preach anyway. But your sister, brother, might get take offense just because you're looking at them funny. And not to give them an excuse for thinking anything, because guess what? I'm going to get to giving it down here in a minute.
Amen.
Help me, Jesus.
Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help us.
Your victimization does not give you an excuse for ungodliness.
Yes.
I know you would not like that, so I brought some scripture. Y'all know, Pastor, don't tell y'all nothing without some word. Can I quote myself?
Yes.
Let me quote myself. I'm in the book.
All right.
The Bible says in John 5, Jesus comes to the pool of Bethesda. Watch me, Deacon Frello.
Yes, sir.
There's a brother that has been laying there sick for 38 years.
Yeah.
Jesus comes up and asks him a question. Do you want to be made whole?
Yes.
Do you want to be made well? The man gets an attitude. How are you going to ask me that, Jesus? I've been here 38 years.
Right.
And you want to know, do I want to be made well? But Jesus wants him to know, I understand that everybody that is down does not want to get up.
Yes.
Do I need to repeat myself?
No.
Everybody that's down, Sister Shirley, really don't want to get up. They like being the victim. Because you pay attention to them while they think being victim. I need to know, do you want to stand on your feet? Do you want to be more than a victim, Jesus said him? Do you want more? Some people love laying down.
Yeah.
They're addicted to playing the victim. Some people don't practice 1850 because they love being the victim.
Yes.
Some people don't practice 1850 because you're afraid of confrontation. I don't like to argue, you know. It's not worth it. I don't feel like going through all of that. It's going to lead into a fight. And if I go left and I'm going to go, and they go left, I'm going to go to right. I suggest that to you. What Jesus prescribes here is not confrontation.
Yes, that's right.
Somebody here needs to know what avoidance, that you need to know that avoidance never brings deliverance.
That's right.
Can I teach this?
Yes, sir.
Oh, Lord. Avoiding how you feel never makes it better. Avoiding the conversation never makes it go away. Avoidance never leads to deliverance. Maybe you like playing the victim. Maybe you're afraid of confrontation. Or maybe for most of us, here's the third one, is the fear of the consequence of the conversation.
All right.
Oh, boy, this is going to hurt.
Jesus.
You like playing the victim. You're afraid of confrontation. But then you got a fear of the consequence of having a conversation. Because if I allow myself to be vulnerable and share with you how you hurt me, you may find out that you care more about him than he cares about you. Did I make myself clear with that? I'm going to keep this a different way. If that person that you're in a relationship, any type of relationship, offends you, your fear of the confrontation is this, that once you confront them about what they did to make you feel offended and make you feel bad, once you say something to them, you'll find out that they don't care about you as much as you care about them. You don't want to deal with that. And the consequence of 1815, this is what Jesus teaches. Don't get mad at me. Jesus taught the consequence of 1815 is when you declare to share with someone what they did that hurts you. It is only one of two directions it can go. Either you will gain a brother or sister, or you're going to lose somebody. There's only one of two ways it's going to go. You gonna gain somebody, lose somebody. When the offense comes and you mature up and decide to put it out, there are only one or two outcomes. Either the relationship will be reconciled, or it's someone you got to let go. And Jesus tells us to practice this because Jesus understands what some of us haven't yet. That some people bless you in their presence, and some people what? Oh, come on, it's easy. Some people bless you in their presence, and some people bless you with their absence.
Jesus.
Amen.
We hear that. I hear it.
You're not called to be in a relationship with everybody, and sometimes God allows the offense to open your eyes to help you realize who you are called and who you are not called to be in relationship with. I'm loving this thing. Thank God for the offense. It triggers the conversation. So watch what Jesus said. Go to them and tell them, this is how you make me feel. Go to them and share your feelings. Listen, this is not confrontation. This is not cussing somebody out. This is not telling somebody off. This is mature enough to say, I need you to understand how what you did made me feel.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Feelings are just feelings.
Yeah.
They are not indictments.
Right.
They are not guilty verdicts.
Uh-huh.
Feelings don't condemn you to hell.
That's right. That's
me
right.
telling you how you made me feel don't mean you don't know the Lord. But Jesus says you got to share your feelings because it is not healthy for you to suffocate in your own pain.
That's right, Jesus.
Talk to us,
Pastor.
Talk to us.
It is not wise for you to carry the burden of a hurt in your life that you could have alleviated in just one if you just spoke. I know everybody's not going to take this well, but at this stage in my life, Revelation, check it out. I'm too grown for me not to tell you how you made me feel.
Okay.
That's right. That's right. Come on now. I told you, Pastor, not scared of confrontation, but now you tell me I don't have to confront.
Mm-hmm.
You say, just let me know how you feel.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you how I feel. You may not like it, you may not want to hear it, but baby, I'm really sorry about that. Mm-hmm. But what I ain't going to do is lose sleep and sleep in my life.
What?
Because I won't share with you what is going on in my head and in my heart.
Right.
I am too grown not to express myself.
Yes.
Is there anybody growing up in New Jerusalem this morning?
Yes.
That declares I just got to tell it like it T.I. is?
Yes.
Yes.
I got to let you know how I feel.
Uh-huh.
It's just feelings. And when you put it out there, it's going to go in one or two directions. There are only two options. When you tell someone how what they did made you feel, it can wind up with someone who does not care. It is highly possible that they don't care that they hurt your feelings. It's possible. It is highly possible it will not mean a darn thing to them that you are walking around offended. And praise God if that is the case. Because God just revealed to you the people or persons you need to distance yourself from. Because I cannot be in a relationship with someone who hurts me and does not care. Someone who's mean and does not want to apologize. If you don't care how I feel, I can't subject myself to that abuse. And you can hear in their language, watch Pastor now, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear their language if you share with them how you feel, and this is the way they respond. Let me go past it. Let them go past it. Here it is. This is going to help y'all. Here we go. If you say, this is what you did, and this is how you made me feel, and this is the response you get time to say bye-bye to. Here's response. If they say, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Well.
You tell them how you did what it did. They say to you, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Well,
that's not right. I'm sorry you feel that way does not acknowledge that you care.
That's right.
That's right.
Let me say it different. I'm sorry how I made you feel that way.
Yes.
Y'all hear the difference?
Yes.
Difference?
Yes.
Make sure you listen really careful to their first response. God teaches us today.
Yes, sir.
The first thing out of your mouth, I'm sorry you feel that way. Okay, thank you. Because it is possible you want to call someone who does not care. If you keep reading in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus says, listen, treat them like a tax collector. Now, I know how much y'all want to hang around with the IRS, right? God, you keep reading this text? Jesus said, treat them like a tax collector.
Okay.
Ooh, Jesus.
Oh, Lord.
Or you can find out in most cases, it's not that they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, y'all. Listen. They just don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hello.
I'm
willing to argue with you that the majority of people that offend you don't know they did.
That's true.
I didn't know my joke offended you. Mm-hmm. I didn't know my actions left a bad taste in your mouth. Mm-hmm. And if you don't come to me and share with me, you rob me of the opportunity of knowing what I did was offensive.
That's right. That's right.
No, but you want to keep it to yourself and be mad. Because you like being a victim.
My gosh.
I was just being me. I did not mean no harm. But if you do not tell me, I can't grow.
That's right.
What? Why does Jesus put the ownership on the offended party? Y'all listening? Because God is using the offended party to be a mirror to the offender so that I can look at you and see what I did and grow for myself. It's God's way of helping me how my ways and my actions may have hurt somebody else and I can grow.
Yeah.
Because you allow the Lord to use me to make you better.
That's right. Yes.
If you don't come to me, you rob me of the opportunity to grow. If you don't come to me, you rob me of the opportunity to help you to grow.
Uh-huh.
Because it is quite possible you misunderstood. It is quite possible you misheard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is quite possible you are too sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Are y'all hearing me?
Mm-hmm.
Only grown folk can act like this.
Mm-hmm.
Children cannot act like this. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry to say, some of our children do act better than this.
Mm-hmm.
It is quite possible. I ain't done yet.
You did something else. Go ahead.
It is quite possible, Sister Annie, your real issue is not with me.
Okay.
It is quite possible your real issue is with your daddy back in 1976, and because you never addressed it and got over it, you're venting on me. Some of us can't talk in our house with our own husband and wife or whoever you live with, or say how we feel. Now we come to church and we want to talk, or can't talk at home. We want to come to church and got all this mouth. You can't even say nothing at home, and now you come to church, you got all the mouth. And these little things somebody said that you snapping off. Or you got an attitude, you offended.
Mm-hmm.
When you should be opening your mouth at home. But we share, interchange, and give information. We identify your real issue so we can address it, because I'm not your issue.
Okay.
When you share with me, I'm growing. When I share with you, you're growing. And we are establishing that which is necessary in any relationship God has called you to.
Yes.
The benefit of the doubt. Oh. In any relation that God has called you to maintain requires that I give you the benefit of the doubt.
Yes.
I talk to you and you talk to me. I know you know me, so I am not going to let Satan put no stuff in my mind but you, and I expect the same from you.
Yes.
If you know me long enough, how you going to let yourself feel that I said this to do this to you? What we've been together for all this time.
Okay.
We've been in conversation with each other. You ain't learned enough that I wouldn't say that.
Okay. All right.
The benefit of doubt means a lot to me.
It does.
I ain't trying to testify because I'm on Facebook. I tell you I'm single right now because of the benefit of doubt.
Thank you, Lord.
It's craziness.
It is.
I don't care what I did in the past. I don't care what you're thinking.
Okay.
Hello. If you with me and you know me, and I'm not talking about in a bonded relationship, Rock, if you with me and you comfortable, you ought to be able to say, give me the benefit of the doubt. Tell I'm innocent until I'm proven guilty.
Yes. Yes.
Don't give me guilty and I got to prove to you I'm innocent. Yes. What's up with that?
Talk to us, Pastor. All right. Talk to us.
We got to work. We don't have, let me tell y'all. Next year, I ain't changing nobody pampers.
Okay. You got time.
I got time to change diapers. I got time to start the train and change your pamper because you messing on yourself or you just want attention.
Okay.
We got time. We got a work to do.
Yeah.
And every time we start the train, we missing our rendezvous with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Oh, help me somebody.
Yeah.
Amen. expect the same from you. Yeah.
Amen.
I know you. I know your heart. Mm-hmm. I know your mind. I know you would not do anything to intentionally offend or hurt me. And I will not let Satan drive a wedge between us.
Right.
Don't you hear what I'm saying to you? It's a spiritual thing. But Satan capitalizes on our immaturity. You don't want to come to Bible study. You don't want to come to Sunday school. You ain't trying to learn to get mature. God tried to teach you. He's available to you. But no, you're all in yourself and think you don't need nobody but yourself. Guess what? You're going to die by yourself. When I say die by yourself, I mean spiritually die. And you wonder why Satan be number one? Because you're leaving yourself open to him.
Amen.
You don't want to be taught nothing because you know it all.
All right.
Nobody knows it all.
Amen.
I'm not going to let Satan drive a wedge between us because there's too much we can do for the body of Christ together.
Yes.
If we don't allow Satan to get in our ears.
Yes.
Who is the Lord calling you to talk to? You are harboring some offense and some hurt. The Lord says, I need you to go and talk to them. Before you are afraid of having a conversation, I want you to keep on reading in these verses. Can Pastor help you? There's no reason to be afraid to go talk to them.
Okay.
Let me correct us. Keep on reading. You're going to hear a verse that sounds really familiar to you. If you've been in a Baptist church, Brother Eubanks, we all heard this verse. Jesus says, whenever two or three are gathered, we hear that at little church services where we plan a program and nobody shows up. So now we got four or five people, so the MC will get up and say that. But you notice, you will never hear pastor say that. Because I know better. That verse has nothing to do with church attendance.
Uh-huh.
I will never say it. If nobody don't show up, just don't show up. I ain't going to give an excuse for it.
Okay.
It ain't got nothing to do with Jesus.
Okay.
Jesus says, whenever two or three are gathered, we hear that a little church sermon, you come to a program, and not many people out there, the MCI, I got it all memorized. The passage has nothing to do with church attendance. The passage is at the end of this where Jesus says, if you go to that brother or sister, wherever two of you are gathered, God is already in the midst.
Yes.
So nobody in New Jerusalem will quote that. Everybody out of church can quote that. But we ain't quoting that because that's not what the verse means. I just gave you the whole chapter. The verses mean when you got a problem with somebody else, God said, don't worry about it, but one or two are gathered in my name. I'm going to be there in the midst. You ain't got to discourage that.
Okay.
God's ready there. So before you're afraid of the conversation, know that the moment you decide to obey 1815, God is already in the conversation.
Yes. My Lord.
God giving us this for a reason, New Jerusalem. When I read it, I said, Lord, there's some information in there. They got to get the tape. God said, I got a word for y'all. I don't need no babies to do this work.
Yes.
I need grown saints of God.
Yes.
That grown saints that know how to work for me and be soldiers in my army. He said, enough is enough for the okie doke.
Yes, it is.
Don't let Satan use small stuff
to
separate it. It's really not that serious. It's really not that serious.
Amen.
Can y'all understand this?
Amen.
I'm going to help y'all because, see, you can tell when a person has grown up. Especially when they've been through a whole lot of stuff. And now you look at where they were and where they've been. Now check this out. I knew that since Marvin that Brother Eubanks was coming. So I had chance to share it with the choir, but I had chance to share it with James, the musician. Let me give y'all James' response. The average person would think James would look at me funny. Now, James can't hide his expression on his face. When James react, James react.
Uh-huh. He does.
That's just what he is. He goes, right. James, what you see is what you get.
Right.
Okay? Good person. I shared it with him. James didn't change. James didn't have an ugly face. He ain't say nothing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All James, the first thing James goes to this boat, James said, Pastor, you want me to do some devotion?
Okay.
I said, yeah, what you going to say? He said, well, I know this song and that song. Which one you want?
Uh-huh. That's what I'm talking
about.
Amen.
Amen. Ain't no problem with him.
Amen.
Not immature person. They would be reacting different. They won't even say what they upset about. But can I use my sanctified imagination? Well, you trying to take my job. You don't like me no more? And now you're mad. Your face said, you will come to church, man, instead of us having a good time. No, he ain't do that. I'm using him because I can use you can use James' example all day long, and he ain't going to care. We need to do that with us. When somebody bother you, give them the benefit of the doubt. But just confirm it. Say, you know what? I ain't kind of get that, you know. Don't go to them with no attitude or nothing like that. I ain't kind of get that, but did you mean no? Or did you say, some of us have stuff going on in our mind and thinking people did something, they never even did it. They never even did it. You just assume they did based on the react results of what you see. But you didn't, what you got going on in your mind? An idle mind is the devil's playground. It don't make no sense. Why? First of all, I think you're thinking about yourself a little bit too much. You think you are too important. That they got this big conspiracy against you. This is about Jesus. Everything we do here is about Jesus. It's for Jesus. Ain't about us. And no Jones sing that stuff. Ain't about us. This is about Jesus. So whatever we do is to grow the ministry. Whatever we do is to benefit and profit Jesus. That's why we do what we do. If Pastor did something, Pastor ain't ever hurt you. Y'all all Pastor God. Why Pastor God hurt y'all? Just trying to make you better. But the devil want to take you there. No, devil, you're not going to get me there next year.
You're
going to go to somebody else's church and do something. But guess what? We ain't trying to play that with you, devil. And just in case, devil, just in case you come to me, because I know you're going to try me, because you didn't believe what we're saying right now. We're going to apply #1850 to you. I will go to my brother and my sister and check them out and see what they got going. Stand to your feet.